start this fucking slobber knocker.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling bonus episode. This is, hey, you want to take over the intro?
Comedians of Wrestling, where we dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I am your host, Donsky Blackamora, a.k.a. Donnie Kayfabe, a.k.a. Donnie Capri from the time I went to Italy. Gabba, gabba, we. The girl is mine, and yeah, she is fine.
Damn, she's fine. Although, I mean, I want to replace those with the Aiden English thing. I want to go, hum. Do you do that? You're a singer. Hum. Yeah. All right. Hey, look, thanks for tuning into our bonus episode.
Coming at you like Cleopatra.
My guest, returning guest here for his bonus app, Mr. Skylar Mitch, Pitch, Mr. Perfect, Aston.
Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah. From Trolls right now on Netflix.
Yeah.
Which I forgot to mention yesterday.
That's
fine. My notes. Because we have a big crossover with the Trolls.
Look, as
the Troll Maniacs.
The Trolliacs.
The Trolliacs. I love troll dolls, though.
Oh, yeah. Did you have them in the 90s with the gem in the middle?
Yeah. I was on their heart or what?
I think it was the belly button.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't that. I mean, I just like the hair. I always focused on the hair.
Yeah.
Rainbow hair.
I like the pink hair or the orange hair.
Yeah. Okay. So, listen, we're going to talk about
that's
wrestling.
Because we're over 30.
These couple guys over 30 sipping LaCroix and being kids. Two wives not happy with this. Okay, anyway, I gotta go again. I recorded for 2 hours yesterday about wrestling with Skylar. I gotta go out again and I gotta record again and talk about Macho Man's Wedding from 1991. I love it. This is the fucking best. Anyway, dude, how you doing?
I'm great.
Okay, so
I just got a massage.
You got a massage?
Yeah.
Right now we're watching because we're going to get into this. We're watching the Match Made in Heaven wedding reception of Macho Man and Queen Elizabeth. And looks like
Jake the Snake, I guess, gave them a snake. He's taunting her like with the snake. Oh, that's pre-recorded.
Yeah, you like the shot? This shot to a cobra head?
Well, the insert.
Yeah.
But hey, that's some movie quality. And then Sid Vicious coming in with the chair. Psycho Sid with the long curly mullet.
We're chillaxing. So anyway, Skylar, I want to just talk to you about pro wrestling.
Yeah.
And about your relationship personally with professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, okay. So, I mean, you started watching wrestling very young, correct?
Yeah.
What happened here?
Well, just, it's done.
We're going to get a sensational Sherry biopic?
Yeah. But just turn that off. It's distracting anyway. Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
We got all we needed from this. Okay. Anyway. But so I'm saying you were at SummerSlam 91.
Yeah, I was five.
You were five and you were in MSG.
Yeah.
And so before that, were you a wrestling fan? Like, you know, when you were like four?
Or three? I don't know how much further back I can go.
When you came out, were you a fan?
I think I was probably a year before I went to SummerSlam. I had been watching. I think this times out with the barbershop window. I was very, like, imagine being four and seeing that. It was so compelling.
Yeah. And we're going to get into these moments because I had you choose three of your favorite moments.
Yeah.
And then we'll dissect them. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the barbershop window. These are your first conscious memories of wrestling?
Yeah. Barbershop window.
Yeah.
And, you know, just Hulkamania, Ultimate Warrior shaking the ropes, Macho Man. And then I went to the Macho Man's wedding. In fact,
you were at the Macho Man's wedding.
The Macho Man's wedding was the first wedding that I've ever been to.
Yeah.
I was five. Yeah,
you were five. And when you were there, you thought it was a real wedding.
Yeah, my Aunt Debbie got married when I was eight, so Macho Man beat her to the punch.
Whose wedding was better, Macho's or Aunt Debbie's?
I don't know. Different.
What, different? Yeah. Where was her wedding?
Hers was in Fort Lee, New Jersey.
Yeah, right over the bridge, right over that GW.
Yeah.
right over the bridge. And I don't know. I'm going to guess that a wedding in the center of Madison Square Garden with little fountains is better.
It was insane. I just remember the production value. It was huge. It looked like a chapel. I mean, they
took down the ropes.
Yeah, they took down the ropes.
Yeah.
They had a legit, like, off-mic priest, like, reading their vows. It was like a real wedding in an amphitheater. I mean, in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. In a state. Well, not a stadium. What do you call it?
An arena.
An arena, it's right?
The world's most famous arena, Madison Square
Garden. That's right. And it used to be a square. So I'm saying, like, at this time, so this is like your first conscious memory. Did you think you wanted to perform then?
No.
Right. So I'm curious if there's any, and this might just be too convenient, you know, but do you if wrestling affected you wanting to be like an actor, a performer? Like,
oh, I think so. Yeah, yeah. That definitely I absolutely think
Do you think
so.
There are any little kids who right now, like 5-year-olds who were at the Royal Rumble and the Royal Rumble started and they saw Aiden English go, hum, 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 and now they're going to go into singing?
Maybe
they're inspired. They're like, I like the opera guy. They're
or,
gonna be-
or they like Elias's Night. It's Elias's Night.
Oh yeah. Oh.
Whoa, whoa, whoa,
whoa. Yeah. Oh, we. Whoa. I got that song somewhere.
We had listened to it on air yesterday. Pause for the cause.
Okay. No, it's fine. We don't have to go into the Elias song again. But I mean, like, you catch somebody in those most formidable years. You know, like, I had a friend who, like, I think DX had like a serious influence on his personality.
Oh, for sure. Like, my brother used to crotch chop people at Camp Ramakoi all the time.
Yeah.
He would literally like do a low blow because he was our younger brother.
Right.
So there was like a 6-year age gap between my older brother and my younger brother. So like my younger brother was just such a mischievous kid because we were watching DX and he was going up and just doing the DX sign.
Right.
And it was hilarious.
Yeah.
He had like a little mullet.
Do you see any wrestling in him now, as a grown man?
Oh, yeah. He's definitely tough. My brother, my brother Milan.
Yeah.
He is now a chef in New York, but he has a wrestling ring for a bed. I designed his room.
What?
Yeah, we turned it into a wrestling ring. It's still there. Like
In your parents' house?
Yeah. It was the nursery, and they thought that they were done having kids.
Right.
And so they turned the nursery into Milan's room. And I was 5, and they asked me what I wanted to do. And I said, we need to make it a wrestling ring, and we had all these, like, boxing bags, and, you know, it was the coolest room. It still is. It's awesome. It still looks cool. It's red and black. It's like the XFL colors. It's really cool.
That's awesome. Me and my brother, we used to wrestle during the Attitude Era. We would wrestle on my parents' bed, like, you know, treat like. And I have like flashbacks of giving my brother like moves, and I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I never hurt him.
Oh my god,
you know what I mean? Like I was giving him like power bomb, like serious shit. Dude. You know what I mean? when he took him wrong. Like if I gave him a pedigree and his like face didn't hit, if he put his knee down, I don't like that in the main wrestling, and I don't like it when my brother does it in my parents' bedroom.
It was bad. My brother's taken so many bumps.
Yeah,
I mean he's tougher than me. Like my younger brother is tougher than me because we used to all just pound on him and he was fine. He used to take everything.
Oh, yeah.
Tombstones. He would like be like, you know, slam me like you would slam one of the boys.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? He wants to take it.
My little brother is like 4 or 5 inches taller than me. He's a CrossFit regional athlete. He came to visit. He was here last month. He flew out with his bike and would bike hundreds of miles a day through the mountains. You've seen my brother. Jacked.
Oh, yeah, he's ripped.
Ripped. Anyway, the point is that should have taken him down for the count when we were younger. Too busy doing fake moves. I've given him rock bottoms in my parents' bed. But I was always annoyed because my parents' bed, it wasn't wide enough to do like a good people's elbow.
Well,
no ropes.
I have a scar above my eye right here from my parents' bed because I...
Oh, yeah, I see it.
Yeah, I was
playing... Looks like shit, man.
Thanks, man. I've had it since I was 5. Dude, everything was a year 5. I actually have a funny inside joke with my aunt about the number five because we had so many.
That's nice to have an inside joke with your aunt,
right? Because it was like we both realized that we had a lot of crazy shit go down when we were five.
Right?
She had like her appendix out. I had this like so many places I got right. stitches that year just because I was like a nut job, like playing with my wrestling buddy in my parents' bed and falling off and slicing my eye on their nightstand.
Yeah. I still love that they still make the wrestling buddies.
Do they really?
Yeah, they do. You can get like a Finn one. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They do. They're not like, I don't feel like they're as widely, they're not as popular, you know, but they make them.
All right. Well, let's fantasy book us getting a wrestling buddy right now. Who on the current roster would you actually like?
Who do I want? Like I still want like just 5 million of that Warrior one.
Yeah, I had Hulk, Warrior, and
we all
Jake
had
them. Snake.
Those sold like fucking wildfire. I mean, everyone I know had one.
Oh yeah.
Which one would I want right now? Meaning, which one would look the coolest? Is that the question?
I don't know.
Or who do
what
I
the question
want?
Is? I think the question could be twofold. I think it could be what person, what would you want? Like if you could go and get one just from any wrestler of all time, and then you could also do current roster.
Do you remember the WCW ones where it'd be like, "Oh, you're busting my nose!" Like those ones that had their faces talked.
Yeah.
Which one would I want? Current roster. If I had to choose one, which would I want? Yeah. I would want a. I would want a CM Punk is the one. He's not current roster, but that's the one I think would look cool because it would have all the tattoos on
that's
it.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would be cool. Who would you want?
I thought you were going to say Randy Orton, to be honest.
Oh,
same
yeah.
tattoo.
Oh,
reason.
Yeah. Oof. You know, I love a nice spicy Randy Orton.
I feel
handsome
like
guy.
I feel like, you know what? It's like you ask me this question any time and it's going to be different. And I'm going to even come up with a better one soon. But right now, all I'm seeing for some reason is like Architect Seth Rollins with the streak in the hair.
With the vest? With the entrance vest?
No.
I would keep it on.
I think.
A little chest hair?
Well, I think a little vest. It's basically WrestleMania 31 Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
But with the streak too, I don't know. So maybe like a hybrid of.
But wouldn't it look cool the CM Punk one? It would be the taped up, have the taped
up
wrist.
Cool.
Kevin Owens one would look cool too because he would wear like a shirt.
Yeah.
How would they make the shorts?
Yeah, I just don't want anyone to have their shirt off for wrestling buddies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a couple of them where you're like, what would a Miz one look like?
I know. I keep thinking about Miz.
Yeah. That's actually a point I made on the real podcast. This is the fake one. This is the fake podcast.
Yeah.
On the real podcast, I made the point that I was like, Miz cut his hair to start the year off. And I was like, he looks more just like a regular guy.
I know, yeah. And I loved his past haircut, but I guess
the
he
Nazi,
had to cut
the
it.
The Hitler
for,
haircut.
Yeah.
For a movie, right?
I guess, yeah, for Marine 6.
Everyone, the people are clamoring for Marine 6.
Becky Lynch and Shawn Michaels.
They're in it?
Yeah.
Dude. Who's Shawn Michaels playing? What, he got a knife?
Yeah.
Are you about to get cut? All right. So, yeah, so, like, my first conscious memory was 91 also. It was Nassau Coliseum, though. I saw a house show in 91, Undertaker versus Warrior, and I still have pictures of it. And as a matter of fact, I found the pictures. My parents had a flood in their basement, and they're moving to, like, a different house. There's no story there. And so they're like, they had a flood and they were like cleaning stuff out and they have a whole, I have a whole box. I got to fly back to LA. It's all my wrestling pictures from when I was a kid up until the Attitude Era. I still took pictures then.
Wow.
And those were like disposable cameras then too.
Yeah.
So I found pictures of like, I had one picture. I actually posted it on the Community Wrestling Facebook page where you can remember 4 in the morning. And, one of our listeners, Justin Donaldson, it was a picture of Triple H with the title, Jack, long hair, with Stephanie behind him, and I'm clearly front row on the ramp.
Oh, I think I saw this.
You saw
this? Yeah, I did on the page. It was embarrassing.
And so I posted it, and I was like, it's not time-stamped, and Justin Donaldson figured out what show it was.
Yes. I remember you even talking about this.
And so anyway, so I have pictures like that. So the picture I found was, it's Undertaker zipping and Paul Bearer zipping Ultimate Warrior into a body bag in Nassau Coliseum. And I figured out by Googling what show that was. And it was a 91 house show because I remembered the card. I remembered it had a battle royale.
Yeah, I remember.
And it opened with a Hacksaw Jim Duggan squash match.
I remember when I was at SummerSlam 91, they had like a spit spot. Like they were spitting at each other on one of the first matches. And my mom was like, "Oh, this is disgusting, Barry."
It is disgusting.
Yeah.
Your dad's name's Barry?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it's his fault.
Yeah.
That's like Jew Bomb. It's like, what did you take me to?
Yeah,
it's like,
why?
What I know is a fucking movie. I just bought the ticket.
Yeah.
What did you do to me? Bring me here. You know what I'm going to see. I never saw this movie, Linda.
Studio 54. I thought it was like a dance movie. I didn't know that it was going to have games.
You said it was called Boogie Nights. Okay. And I thought we were going to hear the boogie. Apparently, we're here to see someone's demise, and then their dick to top it. Okay,
dick demise.
All right, so give me the lead up to you going to SummerSlam 91 in Madison Square Garden. Were you excited to go to it? Do you remember that?
I was so fucking young, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Best friend Adam, who, by the way, bringing it full circle, we just went to SummerSlam 2017 together.
Really?
Yeah. And now we were backstage, like with The Undertaker and at catering.
Yeah, I know. You told me that.
So
give me more details there.
I'll give you. I'm telling it on air. I mean, yeah.
Well, okay. Well, tell me what you want to tell me.
Well, it was just really cool to see all the superstars. And Stephanie McMahon's kids are fans. And that was really helpful. Because then I met Shane's kids. And then I met Shane. And then I met Triple H. And it's like, wow, these are the McMahons. It's pretty cool to be on that side of catering as well.
Absolutely. My catering has been I go to the Johnny Rockets on in section 102. I don't know. What does the Undertaker eat at catering?
You know what I could tell you? I don't remember. It was like some beef and rice, but Kurt Angle?
Yeah.
No, I'll tell you something weird.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle was just eating a plate of white rice.
That's it?
Just a caked plate of just no nothing with a fork. I think Randy Orton or someone like went up to him and was like, just white rice, huh?
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm doing this thing where like he has like one day of the week it's like all protein, just like chicken.
Right.
One day it's like all broccoli.
Right.
The other day it's just like rice.
I can't imagine. That's probably the most interesting part about WWE catering, because you're just watching like what they eat. And like I think like if I was there and like I would think like, all right, Vince is like watching what I eat. Like I better just get only green and protein and that's it.
Right. Yeah, it's weird. It's what they all eat, and they all like look at it with the same, you know, because it's kind of bland. Some of those guys just eat whatever.
Yeah, I don't
know. Miz was just like, it was weird, like seeing Miz with, by the way, great Miz hair in SummerSlam.
Oh yeah, the Nazi.
So he had great. I said just with the Nazi hair. I got it. So
two Jews, two love Jews, the Nazi
talking
hair.
About Nazis. Yeah, till 4 in the morning. So
until 4, we're gonna go now. Right now it's 6:31.
We're gonna talk about Nazis till 4 in the morning.
5.5 hours till midnight, and then pop another 4. All right.
So Miz was just had his match with Jason Jordan for zero people. And he was just sitting in catering just with like, it's crazy because he's just got tights, you know. And I'm the weird one. I'm fully dressed, you know. But like he's just got tights, knee pads, you know. Just, and I'm like chilly in like my like t-shirt and like light jacket.
Right.
But these guys, they just, like, must be so warm-blooded because they're always in their underwear and, like, cold arenas and stuff. And
yeah.
I'm sure the adrenaline and, you know, anyway, doesn't matter. It was just weird to, like, watch him eat, like, and it's like, you don't want to put, like, a hoodie on or?
Oh, yeah, he's just sitting there in his underwear.
Yeah, that's what
it's weird when, like, Titus doesn't wear elbow pads. It looks weird, right? Like,
yeah.
It's like Cesaro. Like, you always look weird if you don't wear a knee or elbow pad.
I had a really, really nice, like, meal with Sheamus and Cesaro right when they got paired up. It was February.
Really?
Last February, so a year ago. And they didn't even have, like, the gear yet. The entrance was coming together well, but, you know, they had a 7-minute segment with, like, I want to say, not the New Day, because the New Day was with Rusev that night.
Miz TV?
No, it doesn't even matter. It was just a whatever situation.
It doesn't matter?
Yeah, and they were getting squashed. But they were just super cool dudes, like, super cool. Claudio, you know what I mean?
Yeah, what's up with Sheamus's hair when he's just chilling?
I sometimes get like too much, you know, like I was once talking about Rusev. No, I just like I have a way of like being, you know, I was like, dude, you should just like try to like what if you just like didn't do the mohawk and just came out like that. Like, you look so cool right now.
Yeah.
You know, just like him with his hair, like all long and crazy. Like,
maybe just
I was like,
to the one side?
Yeah, or something. I don't know. It just looked good even when it was just how it is. Like, yeah. After the gym. If you see on his Instagram, it's just how it's relaxed.
Yeah, Sheamus is a cool looking dude. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and ripped. And randomly, Cesaro was wearing a blonde wig.
Oh. That's okay. Very weird. That's it. Well, I would like that if he came to the ring with the blonde wig for no reason. Yeah. I always say, like, I've done that before. I've done that when I'm like hanging out with, I'll be hanging with like Ziggler, and then I'll like say something. I'm like, I think I crossed the line like with that recommendation. I was like, you should change up your whole gimmick. You know, I'm like, you should do this, and I'm like, because it's just so fun to fantasy book.
Yeah, it's
you know?
So fun, and you know, you don't know how much control they even have over it. But,
yeah, absolutely.
And sometimes you're like, oh, I guess they don't even care. But it's like Ziggler, you know, it's. You're buddies with him, and I really wanted him to win the Rumble. Remember,
like I would love him to win the. I want him to get something big. I mean, on the Comedians of Wrestling Facebook page, we were talking about like he's like a prime candidate to do the NXT dip.
Yeah,
like imagine Ziggler went to NXT and was the champion, and his whole gimmick was how much he hates NXT. And he could still bang with those guys, you know?
Yeah.
And he could go in there and just be like, yo, all you NXT guys, you come up and you think you're, like, so good. You suck compared to me. And like, step to it.
Weirdly enough, though, they're always booked with him first and they go over him right from NXT. He's like the springboard into the main roster.
But that's part... He can also explain, like, that's why he's mad.
You know what I mean? There's so
can
much
he break
to do
that,
with him.
In NXT, can he kind of break that wall a little bit? He doesn't have to say it, but he can say it. Like, AJ... said that he was like, oh, Cena, you bury. He said, bury guys. Like, the concept of bury guys is breaking kayfabe, right?
Right.
And he said that on Raw. So, yeah, or SmackDown. All right, let's get into the match made in heaven.
Yeah.
All right, so you're there, 91. Because, like, I'm saying, I don't even remember, like, I don't have any memory of, like, getting the tickets. Like, it's weird. Like, I don't even remember, like, my dad. Like, I can't even imagine my dad being like, I'm going to get wrestling tickets for Dan. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think I showed, like, enough interest in wrestling. Like, I liked wrestling, but, like, taking me to that sparked my interest, which is really interesting. Yeah. You know, like, my brother has a kid now, and he's like, should I take him to Raw and Nassau Coliseum? He says that to me, you know? And I'm like, of course, you'll love it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I guess when you're like a dad, you're kind of just like, let's see what he likes. Let's take him to the circus. Take him to this.
Right.
Yeah. So, all right. So anyway, this SummerSlam 91 is in Madison Square Garden, like we've been saying, and it's booked as the match made in hell.
Yeah.
The match made in heaven. Right, right, right. And the match made in hell is hilarious to talk about. It's Hogan and Warrior versus Sergeant Slaughter, General Adnan, and Colonel Mustafa, and they're Iraqi sympathizers. And this is happening. This is fueled by the Gulf War. you can't really. I mean, this stuff still happens. You know what I mean? Like, they weirdly had Rusev was like Russian villain, but that was like when there was no like real beef with the Russians. I mean, no, like, it was before all the election hacking, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, when you were going to this, do you remember being like, I know what I'm going to see? Or you were just like, I'm going.
I was pumped. I think it was led by my buddy's parents, Adam. I think like my parents were like, hey, we got a deal on the thing. We're going to go. You know, like the president of the thing has his box at the Garden, like shitty seats, but whatever. So I think we were invited by the leader Farbs. And then we all went together. It was just like so fun.
Yeah, this is amazing. Like Macho Man is fucking amazing. This I was watching it back. I think it's awesome. We were there. Couple. Here's a weird thing. Just a couple random facts about this pay per view. Bret Hart, this is him winning his first title.
Yeah,
ever in WWE.
Was it Intercontinental?
Intercontinental
or European?
Title against
Kurt Hennig, right?
Mr. Perfect.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
Well, you are pitch Mr. Perfect, so you know. But another weird thing here is something we talked about on the Gabrus bonus episode. Ultimate Warrior got fired backstage after this pay-per-view.
What?
Yeah. So, like, before this, leading up to, I mean, I'm going to mess up the timeline here, but WrestleMania, this is WrestleMania, WrestleMania 7 already happened. Yeah. So, the lead-up here is Ultimate Warrior at one point he didn't show up, and he sent a letter to Vince with all these demands. He wanted his salary to be $550,000 a year. He wanted like $500,000. And he wanted to up his royalties. He wanted to up his merch percentage. He wanted to, and he, there was a bunch of other demands, but he was like, I'm not going to show up unless you give this to me. And he's like, oh, God, I don't remember what the quote was, but he was like, it was something like this. The letter ended with him saying like, I'll be at home with people who care. It was the last line. Like, until I hear from you. So Vince apparently called him, said, oh, gave in to all his demands. And he gave in to all his demands, and then he said, he was like, Vince, I think, sent him a letter or called him and said, like, you're so important to this company, you're totally right, completely placated him. So Warrior comes back, I guess he has this deal in the works. Apparently, the whole time, Vince was like, yo, we're just gonna say yes to this fucking lunatic till we get through SummerSlam, and I'm gonna fire him that day. And he fires Warrior backstage at 91. He wanted to just go through this match.
Like, he comes back through Gorilla. Hey, by the way, Warrior.
Apparently, that's what I've read. Obviously, I mean, you know, I'm not a historian here, but from what I see, that's what it was. Yeah. I know he fired him. They said he fired him right after the show, is what they said. There were stuff they shot after the show that he's not in. So you didn't see the last appearance of the Warrior, but if he stayed fired forever, then that'd be it. And this is an example of like the shit Warrior did. Like, now they've completely erased from wrestling history. Like, where they try to just pretend he's like, he was a true inspiration and the greatest guy of all time.
It's just so weird what hindsight and time will do.
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, I actually don't even think hindsight and time are doing that. I think WWE's just doing that.
Yeah.
Like, it's completely manufactured. Like, I think everyone knows, like, when if you have any conversation about Warrior, no one's, you're like, oh, the guy was a lunatic.
Yeah. You ever hear, like, Sting talk about his time with him?
Oh, yeah.
He's just, they were
tag team, right?
Yeah.
That's when he was, like, the Dingo Warrior, I believe.
Something, yes. Yeah.
Because I watched Sting do this interview where he was talking about how jealous he was that Warrior got to wrestle Hogan at Mania. All right. Anyway, so that sets the stage for it. So this wedding, the match made in heaven. So I love that. How do you feel about things that are like, do you think they should do more of things here that are not matches?
I love the segment of WrestleMania when John Cena proposed to Nikki Bella this year. I thought that was really touching.
But it was a match though, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, I was there, actually. I don't think I watched it back, really. When I was there, it was like, no one cared.
Oh, really?
I don't remember anything about it. I felt like we all, like, saw it coming. Actually, I think everyone was pretty deflated because Miz was super over with the crowd.
Yeah. Oh, right.
And then I think it's just this thing where we're all getting worked, really. Like, I think they understand the value of the Miz, and they're just like, they're waiting to pounce on the moment, you know? Like, I could see Miz winning, like, the briefcase this year or something where, like, they're like, oh, we're going to find a way to, like, reinvigorate the Miz.
Well, yeah. He's always talking about elevating the Intercontinental Championship. I don't know why that's not, like, why they don't follow his lead. He that's all he ever talks about on Instagram. Like, he's, like, really proud of that. He wants to make it important. They better be moving away from that Miz Braun Strowman idea for WrestleMania and moving towards Finn Miz, because that's money.
I think so. All right, so Macho Man, who's already married to Elizabeth in real life, they've been married since 1984 at this point. So they're 7 years deep into their marriage, and they're going to get married here in Madison Square Garden. So the proposal was on June 17th, 1991, an episode of WWF Superstars of Wrestling in Sacramento at Arco Arena. And let's listen to it. I think this is so fucking funny. And Macho Man's charisma is, like, completely unparalleled. Like,
yeah.
It's so specific.
So much cocaine.
This is him. This is him asking her to marry me. Which, by the way, it's the most pro wrestling moment I've ever seen.
I know exactly the clip you're gonna show.
No, obviously, it's the most. It's one of the most famous clips ever.
It also showed me.
Oh, it's not. I'm just doing audio.
Elizabeth. Elizabeth.
Looking at the crowd. Unsure. Am I
going to
do this?
Will you marry me?
This is already like 10 minutes in.
Her response is so good.
So tentative.
Oh yeah. All right. So they get engaged, even though they're 7 years married already. They're completely working a 5-year-old Skylar Astin, not known by Skylar Astin at this point, a Skylar Lipstein.
Oh yeah. Full Lipstein.
Full Jew. Yeah, so it's like this segment, when you watch it back, it's like it's incredible. Like this is actually like a joke I'm working on stage right now. Like the concept, I won't do the joke, but it's just amazing. Like how jealous I get of wrestlers where they get like 25 minutes of like prime time television and sometimes pay per view caliber moments with almost doing nothing. I mean, Macho Man is like on his knees just looking around for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And like they start, the announcers are like, is he going to do it? Is he not going to do it? It's like, obviously he's going to do it. But somehow they create this anticipation because the crowd, when there's awkward silence in wrestling, as opposed to if you were like a stand up and you just said nothing on stage, people be like, oh, this guy's fucking bombing.
Right.
In wrestling, it means go nuts. This is awesome.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, when the awkward silence and looking at the crowd, it has become like just par for the course.
Yeah,
John Cena, Hulk Hogan, like yeah. that those sharp looks back and forth.
Yeah, they do the thing where they like take the microphone and they like they bring it up to their lips like they're gonna say something and then they drop it. They're not ready yet. The moment, it's not the right moment yet. They can't handle all the emotion of what they're about to say. Like, Macho Man can't even say, will you marry me? It's like, oh, I got to check in with the crowd the whole time. It's amazing. I love that they manufacture. Wrestling just manufactures unearned tension and anticipation. So they get engaged, which leads to a match at SummerSlam 91 that you got to see. So they did that. So this is another amazing thing about wrestling is that they just do the same shit over and over again, and we absolutely love it. They're in the Madison Square Garden. Macho Man's in a gold tuxedo with white tassels, a top hat, a gold top hat, and the biggest white feather I've ever seen.
He looked glorious. That's glorious.
Yeah, amazing. I don't know why anyone doesn't like completely copy the Macho Man outfit. I guess Bailey tries.
Elias, that's what I was saying, but it's not gonna. That's not.
Oh yeah, you're right. He looks too much like him. Like the danger of him being considered like a knockoff Macho Man.
Right, yeah.
It's not worth it. It's
sweet.
Too sweet. I would love it, but you know. Yeah. So anyway, so then they get married and they're there, and here's what it sounds like.
Comfort her. Honor and keep her in sickness and in health.
Like this off mic priest.
And forsaking all others.
This is amazing. This is in front of so many people.
But it's so quiet. We're listening. We're at the wedding.
Yeah, hey, you were into it.
Yeah.
I love that you thought it was a wedding. It's so funny.
And Macho Man like looks around like, should I say yes? You know, and everyone's like you definitely.
He's like, oh my God. I think they go like, he's got cold feet.
He's got cold feet. Yeah, yeah. It was like cold feet.
And Bobby Heenan's like, he's got cold feet.
Not going to do it.
Ooh, yeah.
It's fucking unbelievable. It's the same thing that happened at the proposal.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there more to this? No, that's it. All right, so cool. So they get married, whatever. They play the graduation song, you know, his theme. And, right? It's amazing. His theme song is just the graduation song. How do I not have that? I mean, it's...
and the 2005 class of
2005 the 2005 class of 2005.
Gabba all right. Wee.
So anyway, okay. So then they this was a tape segment. Do you remember seeing this at all? Probably the reception. I mean, we just watched the reception.
Oh, no. They showed it on the screen. There were screens.
Right. So you're watching the reception, right? And tape segments are, like, great, but they suck for the live crowd. You're like, why am I watching a screen?
Yeah.
And so, which happened at Raw 25, if you were in the fucking Manhattan Center.
God.
So Raw, so they show the reception. The reception is narrated by, like, a British voice for some reason.
They're like, well, for this match, like, they have got all of Dave's presents.
It's amazing. And then, like, she throws the bouquet. I mean, by the way,
Jake
wait, Elizabeth
the Snake
here.
Opening up his snake for them to open.
It's like Planet Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they were probably going for Robin Leach.
Oh yeah,
of the rich
definitely.
And famous.
Yeah, totally. And by the way, we didn't say Queen Elizabeth. Miss Elizabeth. She. I'm not trying to, like, be a dick, but, like, in all women in the 80s, they look so much older than they actually are.
Right.
She's in this. I believe
it's the hair. It's the teased hair and the shoulder pads and. I was very
reverse engineer her age. She died at 42, and she was that was 2003, and this is 91. So I mean, she's basically 30 years old here, right? Like whatever.
I think late 20s.
Yeah, right. Give or take a couple years. She looks 40 in this.
Well, especially back then for me, I always saw them as, like, they're all 50. You're 5. They're so old.
They're so old. Yeah.
But now looking back, thinking that she's my age, younger than me, I guess she does look over 30 at least.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, because it's just the makeup and the dress. The dress is so conservative.
Yeah.
It's like she's wearing, like, a full, basically, like, a Gangrel. I don't know. But, like, she's wearing, like,
like an Attitude Era, you know.
Not like Stephanie's dress. I don't remember what Stephanie's dress looked like, because I think she was trying to be really pure at that time, so it might have been pretty conservative. Because Triple H, he drugged her and married her. And then joked about raping her.
Yeah, and I couldn't believe they put that on Raw's Top Moments, because it's so, like, crazy.
It is crazy. The thing was, it was awesome when it happened.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's the thing about it. Like, we can go back and, like, be like, oh, that was fucked up. But, like, we all knew it was. That's why, like, a lot of these moments, like, I don't condone hitting women at all. But some of the tension of the moments where it's like, he's gonna suplex her.
Yeah,
and then
they
don't are like, it's like because the stakes are so high there, you know,
right,
and it's like so violent that you're like, oh, well, these moments really work. I'm not saying we should do them, you know.
Right.
But we should have intergender matches. So anyway. At the reception, they open up one of the presents, and it's a snake from
none other than
Jake the Snake. Which, by the way, there's a present they open up right before that, and it's a blender. And I have a sound clip of Macho Man talking. It's so
funny.
Please
play that.
Okay, ready.
Right there,
Randy,
nice ribbon right there,
Randy,
right there.
You're supposed to wait.
Not gonna wait for nothing.
Randy,
got a blender, yeah. Got a blender.
You can put together a few cocktails in that.
What's in there right there? I got a blender right here.
Randy,
that's great. Fantastic, yeah.
What's great is it's so loose. I mean, like,
so
think
loose.
About how Mean Gene's even getting in there of like, you can make me a cocktail when I come over. Like, they're so loose. Like, they literally were just like, Macho Man, so we're going to do this, like, 5-minute long segment where you just open some gifts. Elizabeth, you don't want him to because it's too soon. Mean Gene, you know, give them a mic. And, like, that's what we get.
Yeah, I mean, plus it's their, like, it's their, like, wedding reception, and they're getting, it's a promo with Gene Okerlund. They're doing a backstage promo while they're opening up gifts. There's a snake, they cut to the snake, and, like, Jake the Snake comes in his fucking amazing snakeskin boots.
Yeah.
He's wearing snake teeth around his neck.
Oh, my God.
He's with The Undertaker.
He's Oh my God, that was such a good Jake the Snake. I mean,
oh, he
was
so
lean.
Good.
He was lean. He had that thing. He had the protective like kind of glove. You know where?
Yeah,
he
yeah,
held
yeah. He had that one glove on. Like I handle animals. Glove.
Yeah. Yeah. Like yeah. I let them bite me so I can like you know hold a bunch at once.
Yeah, it looks awesome. He looks really good here. Like really healthy and young.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's with a young Undertaker holding an urn. Undertaker knocks out Macho Man with the urn. And
it's
then
wild. Like,
Jake the Snake harasses Elizabeth with a cobra.
Would you say that Undertaker 91 is like Jake the Snake's, what would you say, in his posse? I mean, Jake the Snake is way bigger than the Undertaker at this point, right?
At this point, yeah, Jake the Snake's way bigger. Undertaker's a you know new guy in the company.
When and what Survivor Series did he debut?
I don't remember. I have to look that up.
Is it 89?
It's got to be something around there, right? I'll look it up. Actually, Zig, look that up for me. Thank you, man. Look up when did Undertaker debut at Survivor Series? Yeah, so anyway, whatever. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
And then Sid Vicious is protecting Elizabeth with a chair. He's there just as a guest.
Yeah.
Imagine that maniac as a guest at any wedding.
He's so frightening. Dude.
He's like 6'8". He's got Jerry curls. He's got like tight knit like Justin Timberlake curls, but also a mullet.
His curly ass like Jerry permed mullet is such an it's such an awkward hairstyle. It's crazy. I think like that's why then he never got like the main push. He had like an awkward haircut.
Debuted November 19th, 1990.
Yeah, 90. So wow, he was fresh.
Yeah, really fresh. He's just Jake the Snake's like jabroni at that point. You
that's
know?
What I'm
yeah,
just
yeah.
saying.
Yeah, it's anyway, they go on to feud because I believe Jake the Snake goes too far for Undertaker, and he has like they have a feud that's like where Taker's the face. He's kind of like, yo, you can't be harassing everyone with that snake, dude. It gets too far.
Uncool.
Yeah. So anything else interesting from here? I love that blender clip. That's so fucking funny. Yeah. I mean, you know, we all know about who Elizabeth choosing who to corner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was from Mania 5. Yeah, so cool. So anyway, this moment's amazing. Queen Elizabeth, they were actually married from 84 to 92. They got divorced in 92. So they got divorced a year after this. During the
maybe,
next year.
Maybe the fake marriage was the curse.
Yeah, the fake. Once you make it official in kayfabe, that's the, you know what I mean? Like, and then she got married to some like Jew lawyer for 2 years. Like,
really?
Didn't
she?
I am a Jew. Okay, I mean, she married like a guy who's like Carl Lubinsky, and they get married for like a year and a half or something. 97 to 99.
Didn't she get together with another wrestler?
And then she dated Lex Luger until she died, and Elizabeth died. God, I mean, this is like this shit's really sad. She 2003. She was involved in a domestic dispute. April 19th, 2003. Lex Luger apparently struck her in the garage in their townhouse in Georgia. There's a whole thing. Like, she, you know, he got arrested. And then Luger got busted for driving under the influence in his Porsche. And,
Jesus.
It's just so depressing, all this stuff.
Wrestler deaths are so fucking...
Yeah.
Yikes.
And then, on May 1st, 2003, she died of an overdose of combining vodka and painkillers.
Jeez.
Yeah. So, anyway, Elizabeth did not have it... she did not have it great. And actually, if you want to think about it in terms... At her wedding, she was actually... Proportionally, she looked the age. If you wanted to, anyway, whatever. It's too dark of a joke. Okay, so yeah, that's your first memory. So then you stop watch wrestling at any point?
So after
what's your relationship with wrestling?
After the Attitude Era, I got like I think that was probably when I started to get into theater,
right?
And I had a real passion
after the Attitude Era. So you mean like after? Like 2000?
Like I got into high school. I got into theater when I was like just a year before high school. So I was like probably 13, 14 years old.
Right.
And that was so whatever, wherever like that, maybe even a year before that. Like, you know, I think like 2001, 2002, I just kind of naturally grew out of wrestling,
yeah,
in a way.
I think that's the I always talk about that on the podcast. Is like everyone takes a break. Yeah. Everyone, you come back when you hit your second puberty, which is like I think what happens is like you get to the thing where you like go to you go to college or you do what you know you hit that age like 22 or whatever where you're like. All right, you know what I'm going to do? My main thing is going to be, like, women and drinking. And, you know, I'm going to be, like, dabbling in, like, adult stuff. And, like, I don't have time for my other stuff. And then you, at some point, hit this thing. Something happens where you just become your old self again. And you like all the same shit you used to like.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's right? You're like...
You love nostalgia. Right. Like, you know.
You stop... Any music you listen to during that period where you were, like, your off-season of wrestling, you don't like any of that music anymore. You go back to the music you liked before that, some of it's wrestling music. You go back to DMB, you're going back to, well, you know, for us, as guys from a Northeast region, you know, you know, you're just like, oh, you know what? I think, like, I tweeted the other day, I think Wonderwall's maybe the best song ever written. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, yeah, I like Nirvana,
Tom
like
Petty.
Pearl Jam. Yeah. Anyway, so whatever you were into at that time, it doesn't matter if you were, like, a hardcore. Yeah. Anyway, so, yeah.
So, yeah, so I fell off naturally, and then it was actually Broadway's own, people don't realize this, Steve Kazee.
Yeah.
Who's good friends with Shoemaker and Schilling over there.
Yeah.
I ran into him at New York Sports Club in Studio City, and we were like shooting around basketball, and I had gotten really big into UFC for a long time.
Yeah.
And actually just MMA in general, and I was training, and I still am a fan, but my mark here is way...
What got you into MMA?
My younger brother was like, you gotta watch this, and we watched like one of like Uriah Faber's first like WEC fights, and ever since then, through like, I think the golden era through UFC 200, and all of those times with Anderson Silva.
WC. Yeah. Like Anthony Pettis and all those guys.
Strike Force was
great. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That was when it was, that was, I think, at its height. I
mean, that was like 08?
Yeah.
I started, because the funny thing is,
through 2011, though.
I got into MMA strictly because of Brock Lesnar. Frank Mir won.
Yeah, it was great.
I watched that because I was like, yo, Brock Lesnar's fighting? And we bought that pay-per-view. And then for a while, kind of like UFC was my main thing over wrestling for like a little bit.
For sure.
Because it was like, it was better at the time.
Of course.
But now I can't even relate to that at all.
No, it's too barbaric. I like the stories. My wife approves it more, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
Wrestling. You know, she doesn't understand the UFC, because, you know, I get it. Sometimes I'm like, what the fuck am I watching?
It's violent.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal sometimes. This is just something that appeals to me. So anyway, Steve was explaining about CM Punk, and there's all these great guys, and I was like, dude, I don't know. And he's like, you know, you should get the network just came out. It was brand new, and it was like right before WrestleMania 31.
Yeah.
And so I started.
Well, the network was brand new. The network started at WrestleMania 30.
Right.
Was when it was like that was their big day. They wanted to get it ready for 30.
Well, anyway, by this time it was like maybe the second year, you know. So
right. Yeah, I was just
so it was like before 31, and I was just like, I don't know. And then he goes, well, you can, you know, do a free trial for WrestleMania. You should do it. So,
yeah.
I started getting in on the content. I've always been a fan. Like, even when I was just not even into the current product, I was like, I don't watch this shit now. But, oh, my God, I love watching wrestling documentaries. All this crazy shit about the people that were my heroes. You know, I watched them all. The Wrestling with Shadows, the Mick Foley one. Yeah. I mean, and then when I saw that was on the network, and I love the Monday Night Wars. I mean, that was such a great series. The 13-part series on the network. I mean, I watched every single one of them. It got a little repetitive after a while. But anyway, so
They try to milk that thing hard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was great, though. I watched them all. I was getting ready for WrestleMania 31, and I didn't really know what Money in the Bank was. That was something that had eluded me. I figured it out, and I started seeing all the segments, and I understood. But when I was watching 31... in a hotel room in San Francisco, actually, randomly. I was filming something, but I was not at WrestleMania, but I was in the same town. So I was on my laptop watching WrestleMania, like in a hotel room alone with room service. And, you know, I saw the Seth Rollins, Randy Orton fight, you know, yeah. And it was at a good finish. They did like a springboard RKO, some crazy.
He did a
curb stomp into an RKO.
A springboard curb stomp into an RKO,
which was a pretty cool finish.
It was one of the best spots.
It was great. Yeah. That was a really great WrestleMania in general. And so when I was getting ready for Brock, who I obviously knew from UFC versus Roman Reigns, I was all hyped. I mean, I was into it.
How did you feel about Roman Reigns going into that fight? Like how?
I didn't really have passion about anyone.
Right.
I was just kind of
that's why I'm curious. Like what
I was just like checking these dudes out. I was like, oh, I could see that this is like a big baby face right now.
Right.
Like this is Brock Lesnar, and oh, great, this is cool.
Think Roman Reigns looked cool when you saw him? You were like, I get this guy. What was your initial
hindsight's
hit?
Interesting because I now know so much, so
hard to know.
Projecting, I'd be like, I said he needs to lose the vest. I don't think I was thinking
right.
What?
Because my mom at that point, I just remember this small fact. My mom walked by the screen and goes, "Who's that guy? I like that guy." Like
yeah,
my mom was super
into a woman. And thinks he's
anyway, keep going.
So when I watched all the ladder matches and all that stuff, and then when the main event was on, I thought it was great. It was like super fun. I was like, God, WrestleMania is cool. I forgot this is cool. This is so cool that I'm watching it also on my computer.
Yeah,
like,
you saw Sting wrestle.
Yeah, this used to be 60. Yeah, exactly. The Sting spot was great versus Triple H.
DX came out. I mean, for someone like you at this moment, like you saw NWO come out.
Yeah.
DX came out. They all came out like it.
And I think I've been watching like clips and like Bleacher Report videos, getting ready for in the coming months. So I saw when Sting debuted. It went pretty viral. I was like, oh shit, Sting's back. Like that hit me. So when I saw Seth Rollins come in with the Money in the Bank, like it all, like it's really like I wasn't watching enough to know that maybe they were even tipping that. Like so, I thought Seth Rollins was just over and done with. Like, that a popular opinion at the time? I don't know.
I was there. Okay. I was at WrestleMania,
and you're full mark. So
and
now
I'm
you're,
a full on mark at this point. Right, full in. But I mean, to be honest, I'm only a couple of years into getting like that level of into it. Like where
we
hung,
we didn't talk about WWE when we shot that thing.
No, we did.
Did
we did talk about it, but I was super into it. But you at the time, I felt like you wanted to talk more about UFC.
Yes.
I remember that specifically. I remember being like, oh, he's more of a UFC guy, because at the time, but by the way, I like UFC also.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I remember being like, oh, I don't have as much to contribute about UFC right now because I'm more into WWE.
Right.
WWE was, this is around that time.
Right.
So this is when we're referring to when we shot a Gillette commercial where you were playing Schick. Yeah, you were yourself, and I was your buddy who comes with to you. I'm your buddy who comes with you when you get professionally shaven
with a Schick
by a barber with a blade
With a Schick blade.
What was the deal for that? Where they were like, hey, is he cool shaving? Like, do they make you have to grow something out for that?
Yeah, they were like, tell him not to shave for like a week or whatever.
Right.
We wanna actually like shave him on camera.
Right.
And he can like touch it up and stuff, and we'll touch him up when he's like, doing the shots where he's like, that was great, thank you. You know? But yeah, they like shaved me when we were just improvising.
Yeah,
right?
we were just talking there, and I was like, yeah. And you were telling me this wacky story.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Anyway, let's not. Well, I'll talk shit about it, but whatever. Anyway, it was real weird.
They paid me really well.
Yeah. They paid me not so well. But anyway, all right. So wait. So okay. So we were there when Orton won the match. The sentiment around us was like, he's gonna cash it.
Oh, right.
Because, like, but we weren't sure it was going to happen, but we're like, if he wins, he's definitely not cashing in. That's, that like, why put, he doesn't need it.
Right.
Like, why kill Orton that night, right?
Sure.
It was just like, if he loses, which is so, that's like kind of the sweet spot about wrestling. It's like, when you think about that booking there, where you're like, ooh, but you still don't know.
Right.
Yeah. So, anyway, that was it. We all were like, hey, he's got to cash in. I don't think, like, I mean, it's kind of crazy to think. I guess Ziggler did it, but like bringing a Money in the Bank after, like, not using it at Mania. Like, if Carmella, is she going to go past Mania with it? It seems silly.
But the thing is, I didn't know enough at that point.
Right. No.
I didn't know that Money in the Bank. It's like, I really didn't understand. Now I've obviously since gone back. I've seen the famous Dolph Ziggler one. Right. I understand.
When you saw it, how did you feel?
I was like, holy shit, what's happening?
Yeah.
And He came down that ramp. I got chills up and down my spine. Yeah. I was like, this is my favorite wrestler.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, I want him to win. Oh my God, he's going to do it. I didn't even know why, but I was like, I was just so in there. Yeah. And it was just a real moment where I'm bouncing up, like, and I'm excited. And the way he looks, I'm like, holy shit, yeah, ring the bell. Like, let's go. He's going to do it. And he did it. 1, 2, 3. The place popped. He went on the entrance ramp. The pyro came. I was like, this is a moment.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and now I'm like, yeah, now I can analyze it as someone and go, yeah, it was a great Wrestle 31, great WrestleMania moment, like perfect, you know. But like at that point, like that hook line, it sinkered me in, and I slowly started just be like, nah, I don't watch like Raw, you know. I watch like the pay per views, you know. They're really good, and they do a really good job at like letting you know what's been going on, and you know. And then I started just looking at like Bleacher Report articles where they would just cut up all the segments, all the important ones, and they would give them grades,
right.
And then I've spent a lot of time, like, shooting on location over the past couple of years.
Right.
And in Bulgaria, like, I don't get Netflix, but I do get the WWE Network.
Well, you just go to Rusev's family.
Yeah, exactly.
You just...
so, you know, I jumped right back in.
Yeah. So, like, that's the thing. So, all right, let's talk about this moment, okay?
Yeah.
Rollins cashing. Okay, so I was there, and we were going to WrestleMania, and the feeling was like, it's cool. It's the first WrestleMania I had ever been to.
Right.
And the feeling was like, this is cool that we're going to WrestleMania, but this card sucks a dick. Like, no one was excited about this card at all.
Right.
And Levi Stadium is a piece of crap. Have you been there?
Really? No, I haven't been there.
So, I mean, whatever. Like, I'm sure people will shoot on me for it. It's brand new. It's like they spent like $1 billion on it or something. And it's in the middle of nowhere. It's 45 minutes outside of San Francisco.
Is it near Candlestick? Because I've been there.
What's Candlestick?
Where the Giants play, San Francisco Giants. Oh, no, because it's in Santa Ana.
No, it's in like Santa Clara.
Yes.
It's in Santa Clara.
It's not in San Francisco.
It's in Silicon Valley.
Right.
It's not in San Francisco.
Right.
So we were staying at Arlen's in San Francisco. And we're just like, all right, let's get in the... And by the way, we went to NXT. That was an amazing show. We went to San Jose NXT. That we saw like Charlotte, Sasha. We sat front row. It was amazing. That was like NXT, and it's in a really cool place. But that we took an Uber to San Jose to go to there. 45-minute Uber. Then we took an Uber to go there. 45 minutes. Then we took an Uber to go to. We went to wherever the Sharks play. That's where Raw was, in San Jose. None of it was it was billed as San Francisco, but none of it was in San Francisco.
Right.
So anyway, it was far. So we get there. It starts during the day. It's so bright out because it's West Coast, which is why they don't do West Coast Manias anymore.
Right.
Vince hates it. They book him every time. He's like, you know, that's why 35 is going to be in MetLife, which is going to be amazing. You don't want to see anyone enter in the day. It's like, it's cool for like the first match, but then you're like, all right, come on. Like, so anyway, this was we're there. We're sitting there. The sun is like beaming on us because it's like it's daytime. Like, and it's like so hot, and it was like very uncomfortable and like sweaty. This stadium is like so barren. There's like nothing fun about it. I've been to the past two Manias after. The one in Orlando's crap also. We went to nothing compares to the Cowboy. AT&T is like Cowboys. That's the most incredible thing. You've been there ever?
No.
It's the Death Star, they call it. Like, it literally is like the biggest. It's insane. There was 101,000 people there. Insane. Anyway, so we're there. No one's excited about this card at all. And I think that's what made the booking of this pay-per-view so good.
Yeah.
So we're there. Here's the thing. Seth Rollins cashes in. We all went. The place went fucking nuts.
Yeah.
I took my shirt off right away. I have pictures of it. Like, I ripped my shirt off. I thought that would be funny. It was like just like spinning it around my head. By the way, after this happened, you can't buy Seth Rollins merchandise. They don't sell any Rollins shirts.
What?
No foresight here that they would want. Like, after everyone's like, oh, let's get a Rollins shirt. He's the champion now. He's instantly elevated. I'm like, all right, whatever. I'll get one at Raw. We go to Raw. No Rollins shirts. They don't sell any Rollins shirts. No idea. You know, because it's like, whatever. They didn't sell any Rollins shirts. So anyway, they called this, one thing I like, they called it the Heist of the Century, which I thought was amazing branding. It was clearly something that Vince set into Cole's ear, which I thought was amazing. One thing about the cashing that was amazing is he runs down the ramp. First off, he's running, which was amazing. Yeah,
full clip.
It's full, and it's
that's
far.
That's not Mojo Rawley sprinting.
No. Mojo can't run at all.
No.
He's running It's so fast. And they do this amazing thing with the Money in the Bank where, like, it's hard to cash in. You got to give it to the ref.
Yeah.
Then the ref has to talk to the timekeeper.
The ref is always so confused at the notion of what the Money in the Bank is.
And
wait,
then,
what do you mean? This is a briefcase? What is that? Oh, it has, and yeah. I have to go there and then what?
It's so good, though. It's so good. It's an example of just, like, milking that moment,
yeah.
right? Just
yeah.
nothing. And then when he's cashing in, I remember when he's running down the ramp, I'm just like, this is fucking awesome. And then I was just like, what does this mean? Like, the match is still happening, you know? And then Lillian Garcia gets on the mic.
It became a
and
triple
is just
threat.
Like, this is now a triple threat, which I don't remember that to ever happen. Cash in during a match?
No.
I don't remember it happening. I mean, maybe it has.
Well, sometimes it's like after a match and then the guy, and then the babyface got beaten down.
That's when they normally do it, like after the match when they're brutalized.
Right.
And they're like, oh, when the champion
but
loses.
But both men were down, right?
Right. So what happened was is that Roman Reigns is going for a spear. Lesnar's super beat up. He gave him like five Superman punches like in a row or whatever. And Lesnar's face is all bloody. Roman's goes for a spear, but then Lesnar catches him in an F5 and then collapses like it was his last bit of juice.
Oh, my God.
So they're like dead. They're down. Rollins music hits. He runs down. And then the other cool thing about it is that the match goes for a little bit. He doesn't just pin somebody. What happens
right,
is
right.
Rollins kicks. He kicks.
There were a couple spots.
Right. He kicks. Rollins kicks his Reigns' corpse out of the ring. He like rolls it out of the ring. And then he's setting up to give
Brock.
Lesnar a curb stomp.
Curb stomp, yep.
And he goes to do it. Lesnar catches him while he's going to give him the curb stomp. He's on his shoulders. While that's happening, Reigns spears Lesnar.
Yep.
Rollins falls off, curb stomps Reigns, pins him for the win. The booking was fucking amazing.
It was amazing. What a finish. I mean, I was losing my shit,
yeah.
and I didn't really even know. It was just so dramatic. It was a great story told.
There's so much things about it, because I actually say, to me, I gave this match 5 out of 5 stars for
oh,
me,
yeah.
because I was making the point that, like, this is what I like over Okada Omega. Like, I can enjoy Okada Omega. Those are cool. But to me, this is 5-star wrestling, 6-star wrestling. Like, the cash-in, just a perfect mix of wrestling and hijinks.
Because there's drama, right, exactly.
The drama, yeah. And, like, he cashes in. The other thing is that Rollins was a jabroni in the Shield.
Right.
In the Shield, it was like, who is this idiot with the fucking blonde streak? Now, some people knew him as, like, Tyler Black, and they knew he was the NXT champ. At that time, I wasn't as well-versed in the indies. You know?
Right.
I just moved to L.A. I didn't know what PWG was. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't have any of that.
Sure.
In New York, there's, like, ROH and stuff, but, like, I wasn't cool enough to do that.
No, you know what I mean?
I wasn't going to go to New Jersey, you know? I wasn't going to go to New Jersey. Come on. I knew Chris Christie was bad even then.
Of course.
So the fact that Rollins was the standout, like, that's also one of my favorite things about life.
Yeah.
Is when, like, you think Chris Kattan's the star, but it's Will Ferrell.
Sure.
It's very fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's something unlikely.
Yeah. And I always think there's some kind of drive there. So that's what happened with Rollins here. So here's the amazing thing about this. When Rollins lost to Orton, he didn't know until after that match that he was cashing in.
It's amazing. I feel like I've watched a documentary about it since or something.
Yeah.
And they walk you through that. And you're just like, they really do. I mean, like, what if he left? I mean.
Yeah. I'm sure they were like, all right, you got to grab him right after the match. But apparently he didn't know until 2 hours before, which is while the show was happening. It's after that match. So in the documentary, he says that before the Royal Rumble, he went to creative and was like, here's what I think we should do with the Money in the Bank.
Yes, yes.
He said, I think Reigns, they're going to boo him, I think. He claims he knew that. Wrestlers love to do that. That's
right,
like Batista
right,
came
right.
back and said, I knew everyone was going to boo me.
Right.
They
right.
love to like be like, I knew.
I told Vince, please don't make me a baby face.
I think that's such bullshit.
Right.
But, whatever. But he says that. And that might just be him claiming he's the architect, like being
right.
architect-y. But
right.
he recommends that to them. 2 days before they decide, but they don't tell Rollins because in case they change the booking, they didn't want him to get his like hopes up.
Right.
You know? Can you imagine what a day for him? He left. He had to go get on the jet. His life instantly changed. Like
yeah.
he got on Vince's jet to go fly to do today's show.
Of course.
He's not a guy who's flying on the private jets at this point.
they say that when you're backstage, it could all just like they could just bring you in one day and say, "Hey, we're making you the new Intercontinental Champ," and that's why you just have to keep your head down and run the race and just try to have good moments and pick your spots.
Absolutely, and that's what bothers me about Rollins booking now. But anyway, last thing about this moment is he runs up to the back of the ramp and he spins the belt around his head.
Oh.
That is the best. That shot gives me fucking goosebumps.
Yeah.
It's the fucking best thing
ever.
He
hit his fucking mark.
Mark. Yeah, totally. Couple of marks talking about hitting
marks.
Marks.
And I don't want to harken this back at all to the Ronda Rousey thing, but like think about like the botch as opposed to like someone who nails their spot at the end of a pay-per-view.
It's amazing. And we saw it the year before. We saw it with Daniel Bryan. Mm-hmm. We saw like that amazing moment.
Sure.
And that's a guy like capitalizing on his moment. But this was like my favorite thing ever. This was just like, and I have this. I didn't realize till you know. Then Rollins had an amazing title run that whole year.
Yeah,
it was great. You know.
Not the corporation.
J&J.
Yeah, but not the corporation. What is it? The Authority.
He retired Sting.
Yeah.
He kept injuring everyone. It was great.
He did injure a lot of people, including Balor, too, at the very end.
Yeah, and so, I mean, this is like a moment that got you back into wrestling.
100%.
And I feel like that's really interesting to me. It's like, what gets, for me, it wasn't a moment. What got me back into wrestling was DVR.
Yeah.
I literally got DVR and I was like, what should I DVR? Raw. And then I started getting into Edge, the Rated R Superstar. I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. This guy's like, he had like a live fuck show on Raw with Lita.
Yeah.
And I was like, but even in the same way, what interests me was like, I can't believe they figured out Edge. This guy was such a fucking jabroni.
I always liked his look, Edge and Christian. And I love the Brood. I love the Bloodbath.
Did you think he would be like a heavyweight champion?
No, never saw a singles run for him. No. I thought he was the cooler brother. Severe look, you know? And the spear was a great move.
But he wore the like bug glasses. He'd be like, you think you know me? And he would come out from the crowd. You're like, why are you coming out from the crowd? Like, what is this gimmick? I didn't dig his pants. I thought he was too lanky. But it's amazing. Anyway.
Now, I liked his sinister, like, I liked his chin.
He has a good look
awkward.
Now. He has a good look now, but at that time it was funny. Like I was so biased, I was like, "You have to be like, look like The Rock," or I'm like, "I'm not into it at all."
Right?
You have to be like massive, and obviously we've come a long way.
See, Shawn Michaels was my favorite wrestler, so I always liked those like guys like the Bret Harts and the Shawn Michaels.
But Shawn Michaels had a Shawn Michaels like he just
he was fuller than
fuck, Edge. Man. Shawn Michaels just had it. Yeah. Shawn Michaels is just born to wrestle.
He's just the best performer.
Well.
In-ring performer of all time.
I think we can end it there.
You think
you feel good? We could talk about the barbershop window if you want.
I mean, everyone's got the same barbershop window story. I mean, it's literally, he went through the barbershop. I was you know, same age, and it was so incredibly real to me. I was I was heartbroken. And then, but like slowly, I was one of those guys that was a horse led to water with Shawn Michaels. Like, he became my guy.
I mean, I have some fun facts about the barbershop window if you want to hear them.
Let's hear them.
You want to hear them?
And then we got to get food, man. Are we going to get food?
Let's get. We'll save this for another time.
We'll just do the facts. It takes like 5 seconds. But also, are we going to go get food right now?
I mean.
And a drink?
We'll go to Franklin Village.
Yeah.
And then I was going to see when Jamie's up and we'll pop Watcher set. And then
go to like Franklin and Co. or something like that?
Yeah, something over there. No?
Okay, cool.
Is that good?
That's perfect.
All right. Keep this in the recording, Zig. All right, do you want the facts or should we just go?
No,
I think I don't think we have that much time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just give me the facts. Give me
all right,
like
here's
three.
The facts.
Yeah, go.
So here's the interesting thing. You all know what happened in the barbershop window. We know what happened in that moment.
Right.
But I think in the backstage shit, I didn't really know. I never actually kind of looked it up.
Oh, so I thought I heard a lot about the Rockers episode on Bruce Pritchard. They talked a lot about the Marty Jannetty shit.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Anyway.
Well,
give your facts.
Well, I just think the interesting thing is that like the Rockers. So I have the bullet pointed version over here. So
the
let's go
Bullet
that.
Club points.
I got the bullet. So 91, they like started rocking the boat. 91 is the same year that they Jannetty apparently spoke to WCW and they had an offer for them that was like, and he came to Michaels and said, "Hey, Right?
Yes, I heard this. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We should leave, and then Shawn Michaels and Vince had the conversation.
Yeah,
right?
And so apparently, like, Shawn thought it was more money, and that it wasn't actually as much money, and then Shawn kind of like, and Vince was like, "Hey, all right, fine, go." And Shawn was like shocked that they would let him go. I think he was expecting them to match the money.
Right.
And Jannetty claims that this was all Shawn's design, and Jannetty just talked to him because Shawn was like, didn't have the balls to talk to Vince about it, you know? And so they started beefing about that. The fallout of that is that they ended up staying, but they're like, we're going to split these guys up.
Right. And a lot of people thought it was going to be Marty that was going to be the star, and then when it didn't quite go that way.
Exactly, which is the best shit ever.
And Vince actually thought that Marty was going to be a star, so I feel like Marty also was kind of always a fuck-up, but Marty asked for his shot and it was just never working out. And I think Marty eventually became like a reminder of Vince of like something that he thought about that was wrong.
Right.
And I think he just like it represented that for him. So he kind of buried Marty and would bring him back so many times. And then always it would always be like some sort of a suspension.
Really?
Or it just wasn't working out.
I'll check out that episode.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's actually a really great one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll check it out. I mean,
The Rockers. It's just all about The Rockers.
It's just I was obsessed with The Rockers when I was a kid. I was like, yeah, they're fucking coolest. It's kind of crazy. But like, it seems like Shawn was just like wanted a singles career and Marty didn't. And like, just from that alone, like that, who has the drive, who doesn't have the drive, like, you can see who's
actually that's not
succeed.
True. Really? Marty Jannetty wanted a singles career. Ooh. It's just Shawn Michaels was willing to play dirty, aka the Montreal Screwjob. He was not the most honorable person.
Right.
It was a dog eat dog world, and Marty Jannetty was trying to, you know, go to Vince and the proper channels and say, "Please give me a chance as a single star. Like,
right.
I want to be a babyface. Like, we could book this." And
so he was trying to like grab the brass ring the proper way,
right?
And Shawn was just like, "I'm gonna get it on the back." That's always my like fear in life. I'm always
also like,
like
it was just like one of those things where it was just Shawn was just becoming Shawn.
Well, it says like from what I read about it, it seems like Shawn finding the Heartbreak Kid gimmick was because of Jannetty. Like,
of course,
it's because Jannetty got in like trouble with the law, and they had to like let him go for a little bit.
Yeah,
and then Shawn was like, "Oh, I'll figure myself out," and he like. It snapped into it fast. It was kind of like, if Jannetty, if you had your shit together, they might have stayed the Rockers for longer, or Jannetty would have figured out his single run in that time.
Jannetty didn't come back to TV for about like 6 to 9 months after the barbershop window.
Right.
He was off TV for
but
suspension.
Then he did come back, and he did feud with Shawn.
Yeah.
And then he did win the IC belt for like a brief amount of time
off of
Shawn.
That was the thing that he had asked Vince for.
Right.
So that was the shot. And Vince thought it was going to happen. And when it didn't really amount to anything, Shawn became Shawn and Marty became Marty. It's a very tragic story for Marty.
It's kind of amazing because it's like they had like this is like a year of wrestling that like Jannetty is there as a singles player with Shawn. And in my head, it's like the second he went through the barbershop window, he never came back. Like, you know what I mean? Like that blip in time. It's just like, nope, this is how I remember history. And then he would come back to like save Shawn from the Spirit Squad. That all I remember, like when Jannetty would come back, and then now he wants to fuck his daughter, apparently.
Oh,
so that's weird. All right, well, whatever. Hey,
seems
let's
like
go get
place.
Some food.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone, thanks for supporting the Patreon and supporting the show. If you're listening to this episode as a bonus that we released it for you to like give you a preview of what you get on the bonus episodes and get kind of a different flavor. We don't have to always cover the topical stuff. We can go back at people's minds and have a little fun. Then, hey, become a patron. And you'll get more episodes like this. Support the show and we can keep making more content, okay? Keep watching wrestling. Kisses. Skyler, thanks for coming in.
Always.
All right.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. We'll be right back.